Okay, this week is Parashas Tazria Mitzora. It's the dream of every Baal Kori. Okay, there's a reputation. They say, the expert Baal Kriya tell us that this is the hardest Parashat to learn. Is that true? Well, yes, is that true?
It depends on what,
I personally find Parashas Vayikra to be even harder. Because the hard, yes, the professional Baal Kriya, they tell you what's hard about laning is repetition. You have expressions that are repeated all over the place, and the difference of truck. So if you make a mistake in expression,
it's autopilot.
But there is the most repetition, the highest density of repetition. Parashas Vayikra, Parashas Mitzora has a lot. The Ro'ah HaKohen. No, but here it's all the trouble is all the same. It's all the same. Parashas Tazria Mitzora, the word the Ro'ah HaKohen probably appears maybe 20 times, and every time you got to keep cheshbon. Is it a Munach Revi'i? Is it Pashto Zokev Katan? Or is it every possibility? Is it a Daraga Severe, Kamav Yazla? Every possibility, and it appears over and over. And if you make one mistake, then you get confused and you're in a lot of trouble. Okay, so there is a lot of repetition, but the density of repetition is much more intense in Parashas Vayikra. So Vayikra, it's not as long as, but the point we have to make, we have two parashas, Parashas Zriya Mitzora. First thing I want to point out is we know that Saras. Okay, let's start with a short var. This is the drush. I don't know if this is true. You can make the following assessment yourself. We have here the birth of a zachar, the birth of a nekeah. If a woman gives birth to a zachar, she is tamei for 7 days. If she gives birth to a nekeah, she is tamei for 14 days. It's not fair. Why is she only tamei 7 days for zachar and tamei 14 days for a nekeah? Right, so when we read the words of the pasuk, Kisha ki sazri av yolda zachar v'tama'a shivas yom, 7 days. How long is she tamei for? She's tamei for 7 days. Kimei nidas divoisa titma. Now, that's a very important expression. The Torah tells us that her tumas leida is equivalent or is directly related to the tuma of a nida. A woman every month she becomes a nida. So the tuma of leida is equivalent is to the tuma of a nida. A woman gives birth to vim nekeva seleid vitama ah shivu ayim kinida sa. She's tameya for 14 days like a nida as well. Now nida is only tameya for 7 days according to the Torah, but here she'll be tameya for 14 days like a nida. So the big question is why? Why? It's not fair that a woman should be tameya for 14 days for a nekeva than a zachar. So there are many mahalchim, but there's one little teeny point that it's a ha'ara. I'm not telling you a complete idea, but it's a ha'ara. The way the Torah describes her tuma by a zachar and a nekeva is different. Very small point. By a zachar it says, v'tama shivas yamim kinei, like, nidas divaisa. Divaisa means the flow of blood. Dava means the blood flows. Nida means her impurity, a woman's impurity that she receives when her blood flows once a month. Titma, she shall be tamei. When the pasuk describes the woman giving birth to a nekeva, what does it say? It says, Shivan Vishish, it says she's Tameya Shivu Ayin Kinidasa. It does not say the word Dava. It does not say Shivu Ayim Kinidas Divoisa. Kinidas Divoisa. It leaves out the word Divoisa. Or if you have to be a Baldicto to put it properly into the pasuk, it leaves out the expression. So what does that mean? So simply the word dalid vav saf means that this means the flow of blood. But Rashi here, it tells us something very interesting. Divoisa, lashon davar hazav migufa, something which flows from her body. Period. That's all it means, flowing. Dov loshnacher, lashon madve. The choyli sickness. She'ein isha roa dam, shaloi techla. V'roisha ve'ivorecha kivedin alech. When a woman sees blood, when she is an Ida, she is ill. She gets sick. There's a degree of illness. Her limbs, her head, are heavy upon her. That's what it says. So when a woman becomes a Nida, a woman experiences some degree of illness. So that's why when the Pasuk describes a woman's period of Nida, state of Nida, it's described as Nidas Divoisa. The impurity of her illness. She's impure because she became a Nida, her blood has flowed, she had a period, and she's ill. Why then does it not make mention of that word Divoisa, her illness, when the woman gives birth to a Nikeva? So I do not know. You have to ask a doctor. You have to ask, could be Nishtane Hateva. Or it could be there are other reasons that when a woman gives birth to a boy, she experiences a greater degree of illness than she does when she gives birth to a girl. Is there any truth to that? Anyone hear something like that? One thing is for certain, it's not the same. It's not the same. I've heard this. When a woman is pregnant with a boy, it's a different type of pregnancy than when she's pregnant with a girl. People who have multiple children, boys and girls, will tell you that it's different. You can tell, there are tests, you can go online, oh, someone that was pregnant, they went online, and there was a test, not anything physical, just to answer a questionnaire, to answer a number of questions, and it predicts with 90% accuracy if you're pregnant with a boy or a girl. No blood tests, just a matter of answering the question, a certain sensation. A person, it's different, it's not the same. It seems to indicate here in this pasuk, you have to ask doctors, you have to also know, we do know that when boys and girls, the position, if they're up, they're down, their heads are up and down, there are a lot of things ancient times. There's an indication here that the blood that when a woman gives birth to a zohar, it's worse. She's tenea. There's sickness. There's a greater degree of sickness. Nidas divoisa. When a woman gives birth to a girl, there's no mention. She's tenea for 14 days. There is no mention of the word dava, of illness. It's not as bad. Now, let's put aside physical. Physical illness. People say this all the time. If you read the papers, it's much harder. I don't know for sure, but this is the shmua. You have to. If it's accurate, I do not know. But the rumors are that it's much more difficult to properly raise a boy than to raise a girl. Boys have a much bigger yetzirah. They have much more. They need a lot more guidance. And the chinuch, a lot more effort goes into raising boys. You find that all the Beis Yaakov girls, Ruba de Ruba, they're all noshim tzedkanios. And the boys have a harder time. Not that they're not tzaddikim, but it's much more difficult to raise boys than it is to raise girls. A big mechanech told me this. He told me he has boys and girls. It's much more difficult. Therefore, it's not the pshat that a woman has only... it's 7 days. You know why it's only 7 days? Because the intensity of those 7 days, both spiritually and physically, is much greater than 14 days for a nikeva. It's not the shot, a boy, get off easy. 7 days and you're finished. A girl, it's 14 days. Adarabba. It's an intense 7 days. The 7 days are 7 days of Nidas Divoisa. There's a lot of pain and suffering during those 7 days. It can be physical pain and suffering. What that means, we do not know. But the Pasuk does say the word Divoisa by a boy, does not say it by a girl. Or it can be, you have to put yourself in a frame of mind, you have a boy, and a boy needs a lot of attention, needs a lot of work to raise, that he should be a Yarei Shemaim, should be a good person. It's an intense experience. A girl, it doesn't say the word divoisa. There's something absent in the pain. Therefore, to compensate, so to speak, it's not really compensation, it's 14 days. 14, you can give a person, they give you a choice. You do something for 14 days on a medium level, or you can get it over in 7 days, but there's going to be a greater degree of intensity during those 7 days. So it's not the shot, this is 7 and 14. Here it's 7 intense, Here it's 14 that are not intense, not concentrated. Okay. And the indication is the word divai so only appears by a zohar, does not appear by an ikeva. It has to be defined. What is the difference of intensity? Why is there a difference? But you do see it's not the same. It's not, the point I want to make is, it's not just stam, 7, 14. It's 7 concentrated, 14 not concentrated. And the difference I leave for you to figure out. Yeah.
How does this tie into today, Tumat Tahara 33 and 66, more by the Kavi by Zohar?
I don't know. You have to think about it. I'm sure there's a mahalach. Yeah, but you have to work it out. I didn't go that far. Okay. So let's jump ahead to Parashas Maser for a few moments. Parashas Maser, so we learn about come to Eretz Yisrael and you will discover ki solar it's kanana shaninus lachem la khuzav nasati negat saras beves eretz khuzaschen. So Chazal tell us that it's not such bad news. It's not such bad news if you discover negat saras in your bias, because after you demolish the house, you're going to find a treasure, a matmoin. So Rashi tells us in the word vahoy is lashon simcha. It's good news. Good news to find in the bias the treasures. The question though then is, but one thing is, it's not a good thing to find the nega, because in the process of finding the nega, there's a lot of agmas nefesh. You have to move out all the kalim of the bayis before the koyim comes and declares the bayis tameh. It's embarrassing. Negoyim come from tsaras ayin. Chazal tell us that when you clean out your house, you have to take all the furniture, all of your kalim, and bring them outside. The neighbors come and see, oh, look what you got. Remember last week I came over and I asked you, can I borrow something? And you told me, no, I don't have it. I see you do have it. There's a lot of discomfort and punishment and pain, both physical, spiritual pain, that is involved in going through this process of becoming, of finding a nega. Ultimately, Chazal tell us, it's going to be for your good. You're going to find the mat, when you're going to find a treasure, a wonderful treasure, and you're going to be a multimillionaire. But what's going on? Why would finding a treasure come about through pain and suffering? You can't tell me it's pain and suffering that's good for you, because this is a spiritual type of pain and suffering. And you don't say that. One thing, a person works hard, you have a job and you work hard and you earn it. Okay, so then if there's no pain, there's no gain. But negoyim is a statement from Hashem, you are a sinner. You are a choyte. You have a problem. Hashgacha Pratis, you are the one that is being revealed. You have a negat saras. A negat saras is a spiritual illness. This is serious business. This is not stam a person. He works hard, and he's miyageya, and he accomplishes. It's a statement from above. You know, we got a problem here with you. You're not holding what you should be holding. Oh, the end of the day, good for you. You struck it rich. You won the lottery. It doesn't go well. It doesn't fit well. So what's going on here? So the answer is, this is a drush. I don't know if this is correct. I think it's a chiddush to say this, but I think there is some truth. When a person, when the day is over, the person discovers he has a treasure. Wonderful. He struck it rich. Is that the ideal way to become rich? Is that the ideal? To someone else, the Kananim, they worked. Okay, they were out over there with the Zohar. They were wicked people. They did terrible things. And you come along and you just take someone else's yigia. Is that really an ideal you want to teach your children? You don't have to work. You do nothing. You sit home. You do nothing. And someone else will slave away. Even you know, even in America, there's in China and all these other countries, they work for minimum wage. They have an iPhone, an iPad. You know the conditions, the child labor, and what's going on the other side of the world. It's not so simple. This is what it says. It's not so simple. You should be nene from someone else's yigia. It's not the ideal thing. Now, on the other hand, it has to be. Why does it have to be? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu like we learned today, V'achri chen yetzu b'rchush gadol, V'avodim de'inu yoysam, V'achri chen yetzu b'rchush gadol, like the Shbrochu promised, Rabbi, I'm going to take you into the land of Eretz, Kanani, Achiti, Amor, Yapuzi, I'm going to give you everything, that your children, your descendants are going to have everything, they're going to be blessed with great material blessing. It has to happen. We have to receive that blessing, not necessarily because of our... You know, let me take a step back. It can come one of two ways. It can come either in our zuchus. We are holding where we should be holding because Avraham Avinu has given us Ashlamat Yedkiyadativ, Laman Asher Yitzav Espon of Lishmar Derech Hashem. Avraham Avinu will give over to us the Derech of Serving Kadosh Baruch Hu Torah Mitzvos, and then we'll come into Eretz Yisrael, we'll work the land, and we'll be Matzliach, we'll be successful. Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring it about. That will be multimillionaires through our own Yegiyah. There are people that have become very, very wealthy through their own success and did not work that all that hard. They were matzliach. No one suffered. No one had to suffer. They didn't have to suffer. Other people didn't have to suffer. And they had siyata d'shamaya. They were very matzliach. Okay, there are a million stories like this. But on the other hand, if we're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and we're going to be paupers, and we're not going to have everything, it's a chilul Hashem for Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik yisod olam. He gave up his son Yitzhak at the Akedah. Hashem promised him at the Bris Ben Abisam, in reward for your righteous deeds, your descendants are going to have Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to have tremendous bracha. So sometimes the hashkacha process, the way it works out in this world, is we have to receive bracha not in our zuchus, but in the zuchus of someone else, the zuchus of our ancestors, due to Hashem's cheshbonos. We all see they're very wealthy people and they're not tzaddikim. Why? We don't know. Hashem has his cheshbon. That's what it's telling us over here in the parasha of Nigei Batim. The end of the day is we're coming into Eretz Yisrael. It's a token fulfillment. It's in the same, within the same realm of Shaloi Yoimar Oisoi Tzadik Va'avodam V'inui Oisam Kimbohem V'achri Chen Yetzu Berchush Gadol Lo Kimbohem. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, we have to, at least the pioneers, those who came in, they have to be blessed with enormous Shef of Bracha. Hashem promised the others. But there are two ways we can have that bracha. We can have the bracha in our own zuchus, or we can have the bracha because of someone else's zuchus. If it comes in our own zuchus, it will not come through finding a treasure in your backyard. It will come through your own effort. Yogata umatzasa. There's no greater lufam tzara. There's no greater simcha than earning it on your own. But unfortunately, if the way the bracha is going to be fulfilled is because of the zchus of someone else, Hashem is showing us this is not the ideal situation. It will be a nega. A nega doesn't just mean, there's a problem, we're going to the department, the building department is going to say the building is condemned. There's a spiritual problem here. The kohen is coming. The kohen is coming and saying, you got a problem here. They're a negoy. They're a negoy means you're not holding what you should be holding. We're going to demolish the house. Demolish the house? Look at that. We found a treasure. You're a multimillionaire. Wow, you know why you're a multimillionaire? Because Hashem promised your grandfather that you'll be a multimillionaire. But you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And to show you that you don't deserve it, it only came about because there was a nega. That's the lesson over here. It's a treasure, but it's because of a nega. Why are we getting the treasure? Hashem has his cheshbonos. Hashem promised the avos. But if it comes to a nega, it's not the ideal. The ideal way to earn and to possess a portion of this world is through your own effort, your own hatzlacha, and your own zuchus. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here the parasha of Negon. We know that the Gemara tells us there are seven reasons why a nega comes upon a person. And the primary reason why a person suffers a nega is from the Avera of Lashon Hara. In fact, the Mitzor is Motzi Shem Ra. It's Nutrikin Motzi Shem Ra. Problem is, in the parasha of Negon, there's a process called Hesker, where the coin comes and he sees the nega and he says, it has some of the simonim but not all of the simonim. It's a white spot, but there are no white hairs. Your skin appear has the proper color, which would qualify for nega, but it's missing the two white hairs. So you know what? We'll have to quarantine you. We're going to quarantine you for a week. Comes back a week later, nothing has changed. We're going to quarantine you for another week. Now, we all know, unfortunately, from our own life experience, there's no greater torture in this world than waiting for results. Whether it's in business or Rahman al-Islam, waiting for results from doctors, especially when you're dealing with things which are very sensitive, very, very, potentially can be very, very serious, it's torture. If a person knows what the situation is, so there's a process, there's a path, there's a mahalach what to do to resolve the problem. It's torture to wait for results, right? You're a doctor, you know, it's the worst thing in the world, and especially today, and it's never been more true than this generation, with modern medicine, these things go on for years. People are tortured, the agmas nefesh of waiting for results and always constantly testing back and forth. It's torture. Hesker is, that's what it is. It's torture. You're waiting 7 days to be determined. If I'm a mitzoira, there's a process. I'm a mitzoira, there's a solution. You go out chutz l'sholosh machnos, shave off my hair, we'll wait, I'll get better, the kohen will come declare I'm tahar, and then I'll come back and serving the korbanos, and it'll take time, but let's get the ball rolling. No, we're going to wait. We're going to wait 7 days to make that determination. Then we're going to wait another 7 days. You cannot do anything. You can't help yourself. It's torture. Problem is, wait a minute. Why do you have tzaras? The reason why you have tzaras, because you spoke lashon hara. So either you spoke lashon hara, or you didn't speak lashon hara. It's clear cut. If you said about your friend that he is a bad person, so you spoke lashon hara, it should be instant, the decision should be instant when you're a mitzvah. If you did not speak lashon hara, it was misunderstood, what you said was taken out of context, so you didn't speak lashon hara. You get scared, there's a white spot, you go to the kohen, the kohen takes a look, the kohen says, no, it looks like it's tzaras, but it's not tzaras. You said something, we'll look into your life, we'll take out the audio tape, and we'll review what you said. You said something, it appeared to be lashon hara, but it really was lashon hara, it was a mistake. It's manav shach, yes, where if it's true that the whole process of tzaras comes from speaking lashon hara, and l'chor it's midik neged mida, either you spoke lashon hara, or you didn't speak lashon hara. So I once heard an explanation, I don't remember where I saw this, that hesker comes from avak lashon hara. What is avak lashon hara? When a person makes a statement which can be interpreted two ways. It's not 100% lashon hara, but it's not lashon hara. The classic example of its kind gives avak lashon hara is where you come and you ask, where can I get a match? I need a light. I need a match. Oh, you need a match. You go to this house. There's always a fire going there. So what does he mean to say with that statement? Either it means the big Bali Hasodim. They always have the tzaddikim gemum. They always have everything is available there for the tzibur, for the community. There's always a fire available. You can get whatever you need there. That's very good. That's a very nice thing to say. Or it can mean they're Bali Taiva. They're always eating. They're fresting. They're a bunch of lowlives. They're always smoking, and they're doing who knows what they're doing. That's where you can find the fire. So when you hear this statement, oh, go there, there's always a fire going, it can be interpreted two ways. That's one example. There are many examples of avak lashon hara, but avak lashon hara is something which you can't say gatya. You can't say guilty. If you'll catch me, I'll be able to fudge what I said. I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like that. Avak lashon hara is nishtahi nishtahi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really knows what you were thinking. But it's not clear cut. Now, is avak lashon hara, do you violate all of the lav and the loisa says of the Chofetz Chaim? Not necessarily. But yet, avak lashon hara, even though technically on the books, You're not going to go through the checklist and get the 50 laven and the 50 assays and so on and so forth, but on the books, but practically speaking, it's a lot worse than speaking Lashon Hara. If you speak Lashon Hara and you get all the assays and the late assays of Sefer Chafetz Chaim, we know where you're holding. We know where you're holding. You did A, B, C. You have to do tshuva. We know where you're holding. We know, you know, we know what you think of them. You're not a faker. When you speak Avak Lashon Hara, in a way, it's a lot worse. You're a faker. You're a phony. I gave you over what I really think about that person, but you can't hold me to my word. You can't, because if you'll go and you'll tell me I've done something wrong, I can say I didn't do anything wrong. This Adarab, I said something that's so beautiful, it's so nice.
Deniability.
This deniability, it's a clever, you're a very sly devil with Avak Lashon Hara. He can't get you. But you've caused, practically speaking, you've caused a lot more harm. That's exactly the Mida Keneged Mida of Hesker, of being locked up. When a person has a nega. Oh, is it a nega? Is it not a nega? On the one hand, it's a white color, but there's no here. We're going to go into the coin. The coin says we're going to lock you up for 7 days. It's torture. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a mitzvah. But you're also not a free man. You're not here. You're not there. So it's an amazing thing. On the books,
yeah.
On the books of Avak Lashon Hara, you know what? You're a tzad. You'll get shlishi in the shul. I didn't do anything.
What? Not when you're quarantined, you won't.
But the torture. So practically speaking, you're not here. You're not there. But the damage that you have done in this world is enormous. Mida keneged mida. When you go to the kohen says, you know, it's a tough call. We're going to lock you up. Technically, the kohen didn't do anything to you. He didn't declare you to be a mitzvah. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. Everything is fine and good. But you're in a tortured state for 2 weeks, waiting for those results. It's mamish, mida keneged mida. It brings out how terrible it is to be not here and not there. You have an enemy, you have something to say, say it. Or don't, be somewhere. Take a position. Not here, not there. The Mida Keneged Mida of Hesker is mamish zeh lumazeh of what Avak Lashon Hara is. No. This is not. What?
The purpose to do tshuva for that?
Yes,
part.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. Certainly. The point of the general point is, tsaras comes for Lashon Hara. There's another type of Lashon Hara called Avak Lashon Hara, and that corresponds to Hesker. Okay, let's go to another. Now, this idea I find to be chaviv, the next idea. We come to the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah, they're all different types of social people, the social rungs in the ladder. There are the very wealthy, and there are the poor. Person is wealthy, what does he bring? He brings three animals. A carbon oshon, and he brings a chatas and a three animals. What do you do with the animals? Well, the oshon, there's a halacha by a carbon oshon that you wave it in all six directions. The Kohen puts his hands underneath your hands, and you wave it up and down, back and forth. Now let me just give a halacha l'maisa. Tanufa. Halacha l'maisa. Let's say you forget to do the tanufa. You bring the three korbanos, and the Kohen, you know, he's absent-minded, he's distracted that day. They forget to do the tanufa. Have you received atonement for your sins? Absolutely. The only thing that is ma'akev in your atonement is that the blood of the korban makes contact with the mizbeach. Even though you're supposed to put on all four corners, or two corners, even one corner, I think the other is good. The only thing that is essential to the korban is that the blood of your three korbanos make contact with the mizbeach. Everything else, all the l'shem yichud, the bracha, the tenufa, the eating of the korban, all of these things are bonuses, but they do not affect the atonement. Okay, so we have here the rich man, let me read the pasuk about the rich man. He has sinned. And what does he do? Vayoyim hashmini, on the eighth day after his atonement, yikach shnei chavasim shtmimim chavsav chasvashnos tmima, He brings the three korbanos. V'lokach ha-koin es ha-keves ho-echad. He takes one keves. V'hikriv oiso le-osham. He offers it as a korban osham. Standard pasuk. This can be pasuk in parashas Vayikra, parashas Tzav. No difference. Then he takes the loig ha-shamen and the loig ha-shamen. And then it says v'heinif oisam tnufo lefnei Hashem. He waves it. Okay, very, very standard, simple. He brings the korban and he waves it. And then it comes to the keves, and it comes to the second one, which is the chatos. The shachar as a keves, and b'mkama shayishchar as a chatos. The esa oila b'mkama kodesh. He brings the chatos, and he brings the carbon oila. Everything is shalom al Yisrael. Okay, let's jump ahead. The imdalhu. Let's say the person is poor; he can't afford to bring three animals. So what does he do? Torah says the ein yodoy maseges. No problem. Just bring one animal for your carbon asham, and for the chatas and ola, bring two birds. V'lokach keves echad asham litnufa lichaper olav, and then it goes on to say u'shnei sodei u'shnei bnei yoyna asher taseg yodo, you bring echad lichas v'echad loyla. But here's the difference. I ran over the pasuk. I already said the pasuk. When it comes to the keves, keves echad asham, bring one keves that's an asham litnufa, for waving, l'chaper olav. The simple reading of the pasuk seems to indicate that the waving of the carbon asham is what's going to give you kapara, which is nothing further than the truth. The only thing which is kapara is the zrikas hadam. And if you want to be machmir, maybe you'll say that the kohanim, when they eat the basar, that's also a form of kapara. Pasuk does something here that it does not do anywhere else in the Torah. All the Mefarshim are very disturbed. One more time. You bring the keves, echad asham, lit nufa. The purpose of the asham is for waving. For waving. You take the asham, go up and down all four sides of the world. Lichaper alav, and that will serve as an atonement for the person. So the question is, what's going on? Why all of a sudden, when it comes to the asham of the poor man, does the Torah emphasize that the waving, so to speak, is the form of atonement? And you can't tell me that this is only true when it comes to the asham of a mitzvah, because when it comes to the asher, the rich man, it doesn't say this. It says that he brings a carbon asham, he offers it the standard way, and there will be a mitzvah of tenufa. It does not connect the tenufa of the asher with the waving with kapara, the waving with kapara. So what's going on? I think the answer is, I told you the story a few times, I love the story, I'll tell you the story again, a very short story. Once it happened that it was either Geshem or Tal, by the minion of Rav Shul Salanter. And Rav Shul Salanter, there was no kittel. The Shatz did not have a kittel for Tal and Geshem. So they told Rav Shul Salanter, we don't have a kittel, so we'll just, you know, we'll the Shatz will dive in Tal and Geshem. He says, no, go get a kittel. Says, but the nearest kittel, it'll take an hour to get it, to go walk and get it back and forth. So he says, he told the people, he says, you know, today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have any korbanos, we don't observe mitzvahs the way we should. We're a very weak on service generation. We're in galus. What do we already have already in Yadus in our times? We have custom, Jewish custom, minhag. That has become for us the whole flavor of our religion. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Shechina. We don't have great Talmidei Chachamim. We have very little. But we have our tradition, our minhagim. It's all we got. And therefore it's kedai, it's worthy to wait an hour for someone to go get the kittel. And that's what he told the people, and that's what they did. The Ani comes to the Beis HaMikdash. The Ani, it says here like five times, read the Pesukim, the Ein Yodai Maseges, he can't afford to bring the three animals. He went through such a humiliating experience, he was a Mitzayra. He was sent Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. He shaved off all of his hair. They offered two birds, they sent the birds away. It's an extremely humiliating experience. Finally, his big day has come when he's going to be accepted back into society. If he was an Asher, he would bring three gezunta animals. Ah, I'm a rich man. I'm an Adam Choshev. Here are my three animals. I don't, do you know how much I pay in an animal? It costs money in animals. It's expensive. Just the fact that I'm a rich man, I can bring three animals itself is a sign of dignity. The Oni has no dignity. He has nothing. He's poor. Ein yodei maseges. What dignity does the Oni have? The ceremony. The ceremony. The Kohen. What's the most significant part of the ceremony of bringing the Mitzvah? It's that the Kohen takes the animal and he lifts it up and down. It's a whole show. You lift it up. And you ever go to a shul, a sukkah? Everyone is shaking the lulav back and forth. It's a show. The Kohen lifts it up, down, back, forth. That's all the Ani has. He has the show, the ceremony. The rich man, if you don't shake the lulav up and down nice and good, it doesn't matter because I have the most expensive thing about it. An Asher on Sukkot, he has the most expensive esrog. Big watermelon. Blitos. Couldn't be more perfect. So even if he doesn't shake it up and down so nice, just the fact that he's the Asher. I always notice when you go to a shul, you look at the rich man. He must have a nice esrog. Just passing his table, right, he has the nice esrog. You assume he has the most expensive esrog. He doesn't need to shake it up and down, back and forth, to enjoy his esrog. The fact that he paid top dollar and has the most expensive esrog in the community, that itself is the biggest covet. The poor man, he has a shvach esrog. So what's this whole simchas yontif? The ceremony! I take my little shvach esrog, I go up and down, back and forth. That's all he got. That's exactly what the point over here is. By the it's a limud musar. Vim dalhu. The in yodei maseges, we have a poor man. He already went through this humiliating experience of being a mitzvah. Sen chutz l'gimel machanos. The whole world was talking. You what happened to Pliny? He's a mitzvah. They shaved him bald. The chutz shal shmachanos. Finally, his big day has come. He's going to be taken back. It's the yom hashmini. He's being taken back into society. He comes with his korbanos. More humiliation. He can't even afford to buy an animal. So he brings two birds. Two birds that cost 25 cents a bird. Now, the asham has to be an animal. That you can't get away with. So at least, to my dignity, the dignity that I have, atonement, I'm accepted back into society. What is the dignity of the poor man? It's something which is not important. It's not important, the tenufa. If you don't even do this, if you don't do the tenufa, it's a good carbon. It's not makiv and the kapara. But that's all he got. That ceremony is the dignity that the Ani has. And therefore, make sure you do it. He'll bring a keves, echad asham litnufa, lechaperolav. Bizman hazeh, we're all aniyim. At least spiritually. And we don't have the basic, we have kabanas. What is the tenufa? Custom, Jewish, that's exactly what Rishol Salanter said. Then you put on the kittel. You know, you remember that. You remember, everyone remembers that on Pesach, the first day of Pesach, and on Shmini Atzeres, you do, the Chaz is wearing the kittel. It's a whole different ceremony. Does it mean anything? It doesn't mean anything. It's a tefillah, you're wearing the kittel, it's a tefillah, you're mispam, you have kavana, you have kavana. But it adds so much, these external things, which according to the letter of the law, is totally meaningless. So you wear a kittel, you don't wear a kittel, it doesn't make one bit of a difference. Al pi halacha, the geshmi, you don't say the tefillah, you just say mashav ruach, you don't say mashav ruach, whatever you say. But it's the whole flavor of yadus. And especially for us, what are we? We are together, v'in dalhu, v'in yodei maseges. If we had the real thing, if we had a Beis HaMikdash, there was the Shechinu rest in the Beis HaMikdash, and we bring a carbon, so you know it clicks. The real deal clicks. We don't even know, we don't even know what that means, that it clicks, the real thing clicks. But certainly when it doesn't click, we identify with the Ani, and he brings the Asham Litnufa Lichaper. What's totally meaningless, not totally, but just the tenufa is not an important thing, it's not ma'akev. This becomes for the Ani all he has, his kapar. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have in this week's parsha, it is a very short idea. Where does the Mitzora go? The Mitzora comes to Shar Nikanor. On the eighth day, he appears to Shar Nikanor, the gate of Nikanor, which is the gate of the Azara, the Kohen pours upon him the blood of the Da on his behinis, on his thumb, his ear, and his toe, the blood of the Karban Asham, and the Shemen. The Shemen and the Asham are put upon his... But where does he appear? He appears Shar Nikanor. The Gemara has a discussion. How could he come to Shar Nikanor? He's not allowed to come to the Beis HaMikdash. He's Tameh, he's Mechus HaKippurim. How could he enter? So the Gemara says, Bia B'Nixos Loishma Bia. Just putting your thumb inside the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, that's not called you've entered. But where do you have to stand? You have to stand in the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. The gate of the Beis HaMikdash is the center of the world. It is the most holy place of the world. And the gate is the largest gate. It's the Shar HaGadol, Shar Nikanor. The dimensions of Shar Nikanor are a massively large gate. We know that the entrance to the Azara is the largest gate. How did this person become a Mitzara to begin with? What is the determining factor to become a Mitzara? You could have a white spot on your skin. It doesn't make a difference. You have to have Shtei Sairas. How do you spell a Sayer? Sar. So the Shar and Sahar have exactly the same letters. The only difference is the pronunciation. Do we say Sayor? Or do we say Shar? In fact, Mepharsh tell us, scientifically, it's told us that a hair is hollow. Are you familiar with that? That if you take a look at a hair under a microscope, it's circular, there's an opening in the hair. A Sahar, a hair, to a certain degree, is the gateway to the body. You have skin, and there's a pore. And from the pore is beneath the surface of the skin, and from there comes out the hair. A hair is called a sear, because every single sear is a microscopic shahar gate into your body. How did the person become a mitzvah? He did an aveira. And that aveira is reflected when the Kohen looks at the two hairs, two white hairs. There are two white hairs. You are a Mitzora. Two teeny little gates. What's the end? Where will this lead a person? End up will come to Shar Nikanor. What is Shar Nikanor? Shar Nikanor in Machshava is the greatest gate in this world. Pischuli Shari Tzedek Ovam Odeka. What's the Shari Tzedek? The Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the holiest place in the world. What is the gateway to the Beis HaMikdash? Shar Nikanor. Where does the Mitzvah stand when they put upon him the blood of the Dam Oshem, the Dam Deloig HaShemen? He stands in the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, which Alpi Derech Machshava is the most significant, the most holy, the most massive gate that exists in this world. What's the Limud HaMusar? That don't think little things don't make a difference. Person allows the Yetzirah in even slightly. A teeny little white hair, that of Tzaras, which comes from Lashon Hara, or the seven other six Averos, which is represented in the determination, is represented in two of these little hairs, which represent that the sin starts with when you allow the Yetzirah to enter into your essence, even slightly. It has a major ramifications. The ultimate result is the day will come when you'll have to come to the Shahar HaGadol, the greatest Shahar, and be mevakesh tshuva racham kodesh baruch hu, that you shall be atoned for your sin and you shall be purified. So we go mikotze el akotze. If you let the Yetzirah into your essence, even with the smallest teeny through Shar, the end will be you'll need Tikkun in the greatest Shar. That's how far it goes. Okay, last idea. The part of the process of the Mitzvah is he brings two birds. Now, make believe you're one of these birds. Think about it. Make believe you're one of these birds. Kohen picks up. Try to picture this. Kohen has two birds, right? Two birds. One bird he puts down. The other bird, he murders.
Flies the coop.
The other bird is watching.
Right.
Now, the other bird watches my best friend. What did you just do to my best friend? This is a traumatic experience, seriously, for the bird. Now, to make matters worse, what do we then do with the living bird?
Send it away.
Pick it up. We pick it up, and we dip it. We dip it in the blood of the shchita hashchuta, right? Of the dam hatzipar hashchuta. We dip it, and then mayim chaim, and then we send it away. This is a traumatic experience. We are literally torturing the living bird. It's bad enough what we did to the dead bird. We took its life. But put yourself in the mind. I remember going to the slaughterhouse in Pennsylvania, and to me, they have all the crates of all the birds coming in. They're extremely quiet. The birds are very quiet. It's so obvious that they know what's happening. It's torture for them. They and we ask them, do the birds get a sense of what's happening to them? That they're on the way to their slaughter? And no one really knows for sure, but you get a sense when they're on the way to the slaughterhouse that there's a certain sadness, a certain recognition of what's about to happen. You have to talk to Shrecht and Bagasis and Dakis, what they sense, the animals sense what's about to happen. Then they tell you they do have that sense. It's very difficult. Now, where else in the Torah do we have a concept of sending away a bird? What? Sending away a bird. Sending away a bird. Sending away a bird. A bird. Sending away a bird. Ki yikore kan tzipar lefnecha baderech leisikach ha'eim al abonim shaleach tishalach es ha'eim v'yasabon tikach loch leman yitav loch v'horach tiyonim. Why do you send away the mother bird before you take the chicks or take the eggs? In order, the mother, the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, the mother should not have tsar, should not see its chickens. We're so sensitive to the mother bird. Obviously, the birds have sensitivity. The mother bird has sensitivity not to see her babies being taken away in front of her, so we send her away that she should not have to witness this horrific scene of the children being taken away, being snatched away from the mother. So the Torah, according to the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, is we have to have compassion upon the birds. And if we have compassion on the birds, what's the bracha? L'man ya'arichun yamech. Only one of two mitzvahs in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us that a reward for having compassion upon the bird, you'll be zoicha to arichas yamech. What is Lashon Hara? Hachayim ve'hamoves biyad ha'lashon. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, Yimamish can the Agmas Nefesh, one thing leads to another, we all know from our own experiences, Yimamish Mekatzer Yamav Shneisav Shalada. When a person sins a Lashon Hara, he has to bring the process of atonement. How does the process of atonement culminate? What's towards the end? Two birds. And what do you do with the two birds? You torture one bird. Yimamish torture one bird. You torture it by slaughtering its friend in its presence and then dipping the living bird in the dead bird and sending it away. Think about the torture that bird is undergone. When you send away that bird, it's impossible not to remember, wait a minute, didn't I once do this before? Didn't I once send away a bird? Everyone, right, you have all this business today. Right? There's a business, they go look at the papers, they'll take you for Shluch HaKan. Ancient times, well, obviously people live in different environments. It wasn't so uncommon that people did every so often Shluch HaKan. It was every so often. People did it all the time. You go out into the backyard. You have to have some eggs for breakfast. The mother's there. You send away the mother. Didn't I send away a bird once? And when I sent away the bird, it was all with the brach l'man ya'arichun yamech l'man yitav loch. Arich ha'syamim. And look what I'm doing now. And why? I have rachmanis on that bird. And look what I'm doing now. Now I'm sending away the bird and I'm torturing the bird. And by torturing this bird, obviously this is not going to bring me arich asyam mishanim. Why not? Because what did I do? I spoke Lashon Hara. And when I spoke Lashon Hara, I caused someone else tremendous agmas nefesh. I was makatzer yama v'shanav of someone else. So therefore, it's only appropriate that I should also feel uncomfortable the consequences of causing this bird tsar, which is the opposite of what the Torah wants when you send away a bird. If we take the process of tshuva, the process of kapara, atonement for tsaras, and we connect it, we don't look at it isolated, just as a process of slaughtering a bird and dipping another bird and sending it away, but when we look at it in connection with shiluach hakan, it takes on a whole new meaning. Sending away a bird is meant to be arichas yomim. But here, I'm going through a process of tshuva because I did the opposite. I did the opposite of arichas yomim. I spoke lashon hara. Lashon hara is al chayim v'hamamis biyad halashon, and therefore I'm now reenacting doing something which reminds me of what the opposite of arichas yomim is all about. Because the only mitzvah the Torah tells me arichas yomim is when having rachmanis on a bird. I just tortured this bird to death. Look what I did to it. That hopefully will awaken a person of the severity. It's a wake up call to a person. Be careful. Be careful with your tongue. Don't come and be mikatsa yom of another person, and maybe then you'll be zeicha to what were you really supposed to do of l'man yelichu yimech l'man yitavlach. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.